Good afternoon. Today's split came about because I spent a bit of time reflecting on things this week. My thoughts are a bit scattered. Connecting the dots with points, I think that's a bit lacking. But when you talk about matters of the heart, I think that's the nature of the beast. You know, last week, we celebrated our wedding anniversary. 34 years, and I have to say it's been really good for me. And I was thinking about how time flies. You really don't realize how fast time flies until you look back a bit. Do you remember Y2K? Remember how it was said, everything is going to collapse because computers are not able to deal with the fact that there's a year that ends in zero. It's not one zero, but three zeros. Nothing's programmed to work. Anything that's hooked up to a computer is going to fail. The infrastructure of the country, the banks, the computers will not be able to give a balance for what you have. We're going to lose all our money. I remember all the gloom and doom regarding Y2K. And you know, that was almost 20 years ago. Like I said, I've been married for 34 years, happily. So far, so good. I always wanted to be married. You know, there's an old school culture in my family that you're never alone. Literally, you live at home until you get married. And after you're married, so many people that I know that are Italian in our family lived with the parents after they were married, downstairs or next door. There's always family around and you're never alone. When I was around 17, it's clearly what I wanted. Not that I would live with my parents for the rest of my life, but what I wanted was to be married. But my prospects were slim to none in the congregation. There was one female my age, and we didn't like each other. If we were the last people on the earth, stranded on a desert island, I would live on one end, and she would live on the other. And I'd build a wall that was tall and deep and wide, with a moat around it, filled with piranhas and alligators, so that there would be no possibility that we would cross paths. Those are the kind of things that run through your mind when you're 16 and 17 years old. About the time I was 17, I started praying about a wife. I had no one in mind. I had no one to ask God to twist her arm because I liked her or I wanted to marry her, because really there wasn't anybody around. I went through my times of doubt. When 17 turned to 18, I had my lows. When 18 turned to 19 and she didn't walk through the door. But I prayed about it, and I continued to do so. If you turn to Matthew 6, we read in verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I did that, and I'm still benefiting from the answer to those prayers because of God. And it's because the heart of God is towards us. It's a heart of mercy. It's a heart of great compassion, a heart of loving kindness, and of love and outgoing concern. But there are times in life, and you know, periods where we go through difficulties, and we can think, you know, God, he's just way up there, and we're way down here, and he's distant, and detached. Years ago, a neighbor asked me, "Why were you all dressed up last Saturday?" I just said, "Oh, I went to church." And his reaction was, I wasn't expecting what he would say to me. He said, "I don't go to church and I never will." He said, "I've read the Old Testament, and that God being is cruel and bloodthirsty." He said, "I see the injustices of the world. I see what's going on. What God would allow that?" And he said, "I won't serve a God who doesn't have a heart." Galatians 4. In verse 6, we read, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" We're not acquaintances of God. We are not individual that He kind of likes and tolerates most of the time. It says we're sons, daughters, and God's our Father. And that's the heart of it. This word Abba is an intimate term. It's a term that expresses warmth and affection. It's literally saying to God, "Daddy." Romans 8. In verse 14, Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Go back to Matthew in chapter 6. I want to start with verse 6 and reread this. "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Verse 8, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Why is that? It's because the heart of God is towards you. It's a heart of kindness, a heart of compassion, and of love, and of going concern. Psalm 36. This is what David says beginning in verse 7. He says, How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men, that's us, put their trust under the shadow of your wings. In verse 8, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. In verse 10, he says, "Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart." What about Jesus Christ? His heart is the same as our Father's heart towards us. Notice what he said in Matthew 23. As he looked out over Jerusalem, and this is what he said in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus Christ says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. This is a lament. He's saying this in a mournful way to a people that he loved, a people that rejected the prophets that he sent them in the Old Testament, a people that rejected his words, a people that rejected him. But he loved them. John 14. In John 14, we'll begin in verse 12. It says, most assuredly, these are the words of Jesus Christ, and he meant every word. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why would he say something like that? Because his heart, like our Father's, is towards us. It's a heart of loving kindness, a heart of compassion. It's a heart of love and outgoing concern. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're part of that family. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's difficult to grasp, isn't it? That God the Father and Jesus Christ would love us with such compassion and mercy and grace and kindness, all towards us. What about our heart? Is it like the heart of our Father? Is it like the heart of Jesus Christ? Is it a heart of kindness, a heart of compassion, and of love and outgoing concern? Or is it a heart of stone and selfishness? Ezekiel 6. In Ezekiel 6, beginning in verse 9, we read, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed. God says, I was crushed by their adulterous heart which has departed from me, and by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols. The old King James says, I'm broken. The American Standard Version says, I have been broken. What God is saying to his people, he's saying, you've hurt me. Because you're living carnally and selfishly. Because there are other things that are more important to you than walking with me with all your heart. The question is, how do you change a heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is primarily selfish. How do you go from being primarily selfish to primarily selfless? How do you change a heart? Well, it's a process that begins with repentance. Repentance is not a one-time event. It's a frame of mind. It's a complete and total yield to God and his ways. Isaiah 64. This is how Isaiah frames it. He says in verse 8 of Isaiah 64, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we're the clay, and you are potter, and we all are the work of your hand." That's the depth of his yield. Psalm 51. This is a psalm that David wrote. He had much time to think about the things that he had done. He reflected on the conduct of his life. And he came to God in a repentant frame of mind, with a heart that was all yield to God. And he begins by saying to God, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness." It's a loving kindness that is hard to understand. But it's true and it's real that the loving kindness of God is without limit to you and me. "According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." What is he saying? I've had enough of my own way of life. I've had enough of this selfishness, of this carnal human nature ruling my life. "For I acknowledge my transgressions." He clearly sees himself. "And my sin is always before me. And against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." It's internal. And it goes very deep. And he says, "And in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." David says, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. And hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities," which God does when we repent. And they're gone. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You see, it's attitude. frame of mind. It's yield, it's repentance. Desiring with all his heart to go a different direction in life, no matter what. He really understands it. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. All of us have that same gift that he was given in having God's Spirit when we were baptized. And you would think, especially from this point on in his life, he was going to use it. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. It's the same thing we're going to do in the world tomorrow. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. The God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. If God demanded or required anything of him, he would have done it without hesitation. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And these are the things that God does not despise. Being convicted and convinced that our own ways, our own thoughts need to be put away once and for all. Joel chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12, Joel says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me." God says, turn to me with all your heart. Without hesitation, without reservation, without a pocket of continually wanting to go your own way, do your own thing. He says, turn to me. All of you. Everything about you. Turn to me, God says. With fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. You see, it's internal. It's a matter of the heart. The attitude, the mind, the approach, the conviction, and the decision of how you and I are going to live the rest of our lives. Committed, dedicated, devoted. It's a matter of the heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. We can't grasp the truth and the depth of that statement. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Well, he does. There's other scriptures that show that clearly. God's hand is a hand of great blessing in your life. When you sincerely walk with him and sincerely want and desire to change. Proverbs 7. Just notice how these scriptures are framed. We read in verse 1 of chapter 7, my son. There's an attachment there, isn't there? When you think about father and son and the relationship that should be there. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. You know, in this physical life, following the commandments of God, there's going to be a lot of satisfaction in your life and benefits. It's built into God's way of life. But at the end of our life, at the resurrection or at the return of Christ, we're going to be given eternal life. Because we've walked a path that so few have been given an opportunity to walk. So many have rejected it. But here we're told to keep it so you can live. And my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. I have a sister and I love her. And you see how God's equating wisdom with someone you love, someone you care for. And when you look at wisdom, tell her she's your sister. You're bound to wisdom. You desire wisdom. You go for it. You fight for it. You defend it. And you don't let it go. And call understanding your nearest kin, because it's that important. In my life, and it's that important in yours. Psalm 119. David, when he sat down to write this psalm, was reflecting on matters of the heart. And he begins by saying in verse 1 of Psalm 119, blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, and I would not be ashamed. And when I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And with my whole heart, David says, with my whole heart, I've sought you. I've come after you, God, is what he's saying. With no reservation. And let me not wander from your commandments. So I was thinking about things this week. I was sorting some things out in my mind. Like, what's the most important thing to me? And I thought of an analogy. It's not the best analogy in the world, but I think it helped clear some things up in my own mind, in my own thinking. I thought about life being like a ladder, because there's a lot of rungs in a ladder, right? What's the most important rung in your ladder? The most important thing in your life. You know how to know what is the top rung in your ladder, or you know how you know what is the most important thing to you? It's just what you spend the majority of your time thinking and doing. That's number one. And you see, if it's not God, you're not on the same page with your Father. You're not on the same page with Jesus Christ. If you're not on the same page, you're really not walking together. If you're not walking together, your interests then are different from your own Father's. And always, 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 that will eventually lead to separation. You will go your way, and you will end up far apart from God, having a heart of stone and being a supremely selfish person. Revelation 19. Beginning in verse 5, we read, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.' Let us be glad," in verse 7, "and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." What's this tell us? Brethren, if you're here, it tells us that your heart was towards God fully and totally. And in this life, you loved, you gave, and you served with all your heart. If you're married, you will love, give, and serve your mate with all your heart. If you're here, what we're reading in Revelation, you've come to have the heart that God has, the heart that Jesus Christ has, a heart of great compassion, a heart of mercy, a heart of loving kindness and of love and outgoing concern. Verse 8, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." If you're here, you've proved your worth by the things you do and how you're living your life and how you lived your life. A life that's abundant in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, and all the rest of the fruits of God's Spirit. One last scripture in the book of Joshua. Joshua 22. Joshua 22, beginning in verse 5, we read, "Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." What are all these things about? Simply, brethren, they're just matters of the heart.